It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell, and this is Law Talk with Brad. We are here live this morning, and we are talking about estate planning on this show. And we always talk about different aspects of the here and sometimes the hereafter, and how we're going to get from the here and the hereafter. Now, this is not, I'm not an evangelist, so we're not going to teach you or tell you exactly how to get there, although if you stay to the very end, I'll give you some suggestions. But today, we are going to talk specifically about something that everybody listening may need at some point in time. And some may not, because they may go fast, but most of us kind of think, well, I'd like to kind of die in bed, surrounded by my family, and that's the nice picture-perfect way to go, and probably the best way to ever get that accomplished is through a hospice setting. And we have, this morning, Melinda Marble, who is here from Hospice Austin. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and Hospice Austin does marvelous things. So, ladies and gentlemen, this morning we're going to talk about Hospice Austin, how it works, how it may be something that you'd want to investigate for yourself or your family if you get to that point where it's time to seriously talk about letting you go because of a terminal condition or something like that. And this is a call-in show. If you're a regular listener, you know that. And if you're a new listener, you need to know that. And our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. My lovely wife, Cindy Wewell, is out on the phones, ready to take your call, and we'll be happy to answer questions here on the air today, live and in person, and get you an answer to your question, too. We're going to talk about Hospice Austin, but if you have a question that you really need an answer to today, not relevant to Hospice Austin, you can still call. I'm happy to take your calls, happy to give you an answer at 390-1370, 390-1370. If you want to email me, you can email me a question. The email address is askbrad@wiewell.us. So it's askbrad@wiewell.us. Email me, I'll read your email question, and I'll get you an answer on the air too. So this is a show where we try to get to you information about your life and your legal life typically. And again, today we're going to talk a little bit more about the here and close to the hereafter anyway. So let's start, Melinda. You know, and I know, and a fair number of our listeners know, but a fair number of listeners do not know, what the heck is hospice anyway? What is a hospice?
Well, a lot of people think that hospice is a place where you go to. And actually, it's more of a concept and a service that's provided typically in a patient's home or wherever they live, nursing home, assisted living facility, anything like that. If it's for people who generally have about 6 months or less to live.
Okay.
And, of course, that's if the disease runs its expected course. I mean, diseases are wildly unpredictable. We have people who have been on our service for a lot longer. Sometimes patients get well, and they're discharged from our service.
That's also nice.
Yeah, it
that's
is. We're always happy
is
about
it that.
Is it that
interesting? All right, good. So it's not always a one-way ticket.
No, it's not.
Good.
But, you know, when you get ill, often you go and you see a specialist, and a lot of times you see many specialists. But when it comes to the end of your life, hospice sort of serves as the specialist. I mean, we are experts in pain and symptom control, and our goal is to make this last period as comfortable and pain-free as it can be so you can concentrate on spending time with your family and just enjoying the time that you have left.
Wow, that's really good.
Generally, every patient is assigned a team. So you have a physician, and we work with your own physician. Or if you don't have a physician, you can use one of the Hospice Austin doctors and a nurse, a social worker, a chaplain, a volunteer, a home health aide, and a homemaker who can come in and kind of keep things straight.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot. Wow. Social worker, what do they do?
Well, the social worker really, they can help with a lot of the technical things, like end-of-life planning. They help with life review, a lot of the psychosocial issues that surround.
The family.
Mm-hmm. And we do. We take care of the entire family. It's not just the patient that we concentrate on.
Mm.
A lot of times there's loose ends in a family where patients and other families need help just processing what's going on or coming together, and social workers really help with that.
Okay. All right.
And all our chaplains, too, are non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
We have people of all religions, no religions, and we just meet the patients wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. That's a valuable service.
Yeah.
And we're all, again, ladies and gentlemen, going to probably end up in that place, again, unless you just drop dead of a heart attack or something like that, or a car wreck or something. Hospice is important. Hospice Austin is not the only hospice outfit in town.
Right.
What makes Hospice Austin unique?
Well, we are the only not-for-profit hospice.
Okay.
And so that means that the revenues that we generate through, most of our patients are paid through private insurance or Medicaid, and the revenues we receive from that don't go to shareholders. They go back into our programs.
So if I need hospice and I've got a doctor, all right, and my doctor gets paid through my health insurance, if I have it, you guys are providing health insurance-like services, so there'd be some reimbursement from the health insurance company back to Hospice Austin?
Yeah, most health insurances do cover hospice services.
Okay.
And actually, there was a study done recently that shows that hospice care actually costs Medicare significantly less money. I think it's an average of like $1,200 per patient over non-hospice services, because so many services are provided in hospitals the last 6 months of a person's life.
So. And hospitals are pretty, a hospital would be a pretty expensive place to be cared for.
Right.
All right. So let's say I've got health insurance. Let's say that I've got Medicare. Let's say this is a nonprofit, so there are going to be some listeners who don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's this big healthcare debate out there, and you'd have to be deaf not to know what was going on, where, you know, are we going to have a national health plan? Are we not going to have a national health plan? Who knows? But let's say there's somebody out there of more modest means and that doesn't have private insurance, that is not old enough for Medicare and not poor enough for Medicaid.
Exactly.
All right.
Those are the people that we take care of, is the ones who don't have insurance. And as you said, people who are below the poverty line usually have access to Medicaid. But there's a large chunk of the population out there, say, who get laid off from their job, have COBRA for a while, the COBRA ends, or they can't afford COBRA because it's so expensive. And they simply are unfunded, and we take care of them, too. We don't turn anyone away.
Well, and ladies and gentlemen, that's the benefit, I think, and the big blessing to our community of Hospice Austin, because it is nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
You can, hard to say, afford to take care of people that can't take care of themselves, but through contributions and donations and, again, reimbursements from whatever program or policy may be out there, you can care for people that financially can't care for themselves at this time.
Exactly. Yes, we do depend heavily on the goodness of the community to take care of these patients. And last year, about, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, we provided about $400,000 a year in unfunded charity care. And
that means free?
Free. And this year, we provided $1.8
million.
I mean, it's really gone up, and we anticipate it continuing to rise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the economy, aging population, things like that too. Gee, okay. If someone wanted to, I'm just going to jump right to it, contribute money to Hospice Austin, because again, $1.8 million
Yeah.
Doesn't grow on trees. I keep looking in my backyard for that money tree. You know, my kids sometimes think it's out there. They think, well, Dad, you don't seem to really work that hard. And, you know, I'm sure the money tree is back there someplace. And believe you me, I've searched time low and hadn't found it. And I doubt that you've got one growing in the courtyard of the Hospice Austin building out there. How do you raise money?
Well, we generally, we raise money through fundraising events and through grants and plan giving, such as people leaving us money in their wills or memorial donations. But events is where we really try to raise a lot of money from the community.
You get, are y'all in United Way?
We were in United Way for years and years, and then when they did their restructuring, we were one of the partner agencies who are not being funded any longer through United Way. We still, you can still designate your gift to us, which we would really appreciate and hope.
So tell me about that.
Well, you just win.
Through the payroll deduction thing?
The payroll deduction, right. And there's a little box where you can check that say that says designate, and you just say Hospice Austin. You can give our address, 4107 Spicewood Springs Road, Austin, 78759.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of United Way anymore. I mean, they dropped you guys. They dropped the Boy Scouts. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We want to give your phone number, and I'm going to give our call-in number, too. If somebody wants to contribute to Hospice Austin, they can call and get the information. We got a website, too. Give me your phone number here in Austin.
Our phone number is 512-342-4700. We have a 1-800 number also. That's 1-800-445-3261.
Give both of those numbers again.
Okay. Our Austin number is 342-4700, and our 1-800 number is 445-3261.
And you have a website?
Yes. It's www.hospiceaustin.org.
Okay, so if somebody wants to contribute, they can do that. We have a call-in number here, folks, too. It's 390-1370, 390-1370. If you've got questions for Melinda about Hospice Austin or end-of-life issues or how would it work or, you know, I've got a loved one with some terminal thing coming up. We're not maybe there yet, but they're heading in that direction. This is a great time to call and get your questions answered, too. 390-1370, 390-1370. We're going to take a break. When we come back from break, we're going to kind of get into more of the nitty-gritty of how Hospice Austin works, how it can help you and your family, and some other interesting stuff about it. So we're going to take a break and come back, and we'll see where we go.
Law Jimmy. Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are talking this morning with Melinda Marble, Director of Communications at Hospice Austin. And Hospice is a service to kind of catch up on our conversation here. It's an end-of-life service where families get medical care. They get pain management, as you call it,
Symptom management, right? Pain and symptom management.
All right. So if there's some awful symptoms of this awful thing that you've got, you guys can help control those too and just kind of help the dying process be as smooth and comfortable and peaceful for everybody.
Right.
Okay. That's great. So if I have a loved one in need of Hospice Austin's care, how do I get started? How does that work? If it's me and I need it, I mean, my doctor just said you've got stage 4 lung cancer, stage 4 pancreatic cancer. I just pick up the phone and give you guys a call. Hi.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
No kidding.
You can call us and say, I'd like more information about your services. Your doctor can tell you about us and say, you know, it seems like we can progress in two ways. One, we can do some more treatments that are going to be very hard on your body and chances are will be unsuccessful. Or you can move in the direction of hospice. Hospitals refer patients to us. Social workers often refer patients to us. Family and friends who are familiar with hospice can call us or can tell the patient or the family, hey, give them a call. And then we just send a nurse out, talk to you. We do need a doctor's certification that generally if the disease runs its expected course, you'll have about 6 months or less to live.
So that's an important piece of this puzzle. So you need a doctor's diagnosis, basically, that you have an illness that if it runs its normal course, within 6 months, you'll be dead.
Probably, yes.
Okay.
And
I understand, yes.
Yeah, we also have another program called Support Source, and it's for people who have a life-limiting illness and a prognosis of 2 years or less.
Okay. Now, how does that work?
Well, that is we have a lot of volunteers, and so they'll provide volunteer services to the patient, help with running errands, companionship. They become just good friends often with the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And we hook the patient up with a lot of community resources. So they'll see as their energy level goes down that they'll need more help from the community, you know, Meals on Wheels and
mm-hmm.
Coordinating social services.
Okay, so they're not laying in a hospital bed with tubes and all that. They just have got something that probably over the next 2 years or so will be terminal.
Right.
And what's that called again? Support source. Support Source.
Yes.
That's
it's the only program of its kind in Texas.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So listen up, folks. Again, we all know people that, you know, sometimes life is awful. And they're there. And maybe you. Support Source through Hospice Austin may be a great way to kind of not necessarily get you prepared just yet, but start to look at what's out there and get you some direction and some friendships, because
mm-hmm.
It can be lonely. I'm sure it's lonely.
It's very lonely and it's very scary, and people don't understand. I mean, we live in a real death denying society.
We do, don't we?
Yeah. People just don't want to think about it.
Well, baby boomers, I think in particular, we think we are, I'm not sure if you're a baby boomer, you look pretty young, but I'm a baby boomer. If you're a baby boomer, if you're born between January 1st, 1946, and I believe December 31st in 1964, and if you're a baby boomer, we just seem to think, you know, we're invincible, we're cool, you know, we the best generation ever, blah, 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 which is also, I think, totally wrong, but that's who we are. Yeah, and we deny death all the time, don't we? And it's a youth-focused society.
Right, it is. And people also have a misperception that going on to hospice means giving up.
Now, that's interesting. Sure, and not necessarily so.
Right, no, it's not so at all. In fact, studies have shown that patients tend to live a little longer under hospice services than they do not typically about 30 days. I mean, of course, it varies from patient to patient. But,
right.
But because they're not going through really acute measures, tests, and
they're not doing the fly off to some clinic in the interior of Mexico for bee stings. And I mean, no kidding. I mean, I think that stuff, I understand that stuff is out there.
Right. Well,
Venom and all this stuff, and all that's going to cure your cancer.
Right, right. And, I mean, hospitals and doctors are really geared to take heroic measures unless they're told otherwise.
Sure.
And they have the whole mindset of we're going to save this patient, and death equates failure. And everyone dies.
No kidding.
It doesn't equate failure.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I think doctors are starting to come around a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we are really trying to get the medical community and patients and families to understand is that the longer you're on Hospice Austin services, the more you benefit from our services. A lot of times people don't come on our services until a week before.
Before the end.
Right.
Right.
And they just, I mean, we're able to control their pain and their nausea, their,
Again, there's symptoms or whatever.
There's symptoms, but they don't really benefit from a lot of our other services.
So the earlier the better.
The earlier the better.
All right. So I can pick up the phone. I just left the doctor's office. She says, whatever you got, let's say it's ALS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. ALS is not something that's going to necessarily, just got the diagnosis, going to kill me in 6 months. But again, 2 years, I've got a problem. So I can call you guys, get on the support source.
Support source. That's all right. That's right.
You'll
be assigned a volunteer, and our support source coordinator will also hook you up with whatever resources you need in the community. And as time goes on, you might find that you can't go to the grocery store yourself as often, or you just need a little more help. And then eventually it'll come to the point where the doctor will say, well, it might be time for you to transition, onto a hospice program. And
mm-hmm.
so if that's what you decide to do, then that's when you're assigned the full team. We bring out everything you might need as far as a hospital bed, medical equipment. We have an in-house pharmacy, and we bring your medicine to you.
So it's a real turnkey process.
It is, yes.
Okay, looks like we have a call on line one from Laura. Laura, are you there? Hello, Laura. Laura? I don't hear Laura. Okay, let's see if we get Laura on.
Yes.
There you go. Hi, Laura. This is Brad Wewell.
Hi, Brad. How are you today?
I'm great, and I appreciate you calling. And the little note says you used hospice last year.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We used Hospice Austin.
Hot dog.
Yes.
Tell us about your experience.
Last year, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, was given less than 6 months, and our doctor suggested that we call Hospice Austin, and the next day we did, and they came out. And from the time they arrived at our door, they took care of everything for my mother, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It was such a phenomenal experience. I cannot praise Hospice Austin enough.
Wow. Wow, Laura. That is quite a testimony. It was good all the way through the end then, huh?
All the way through the end, and her nurse was right there with me and the family, holding her hand as my mom passed away.
Oh,
wow.
That's wonderful.
Well, that's an unsolicited testimonial, Laura, and we appreciate that. Any advice to our listeners out there, Laura, who might be in a similar situation?
Yes, if there's any kind of question about the care of Hospice Austin, it's so phenomenal. Do not hesitate to use them, and the support that they gave me to be able to care for my mom and be able to spend time with her. She was living in our home, and we got good quality family time and didn't have to worry about hospitals and medicines and equipment. It was all brought directly to our door.
So she was in your home, and Hospice Austin came and did all they needed to do there.
They did everything they needed to do from the time the first, I think it's called the intake nurse, mm-hmm. came out and got information, and within 2 to 3 hours, we had equipment and medicine, and from that point on, it was just quality time I was able to spend with her. So anyone that has a family member or friend that's going through that, please, I encourage them to contact Hospice Austin, because the experience that they will have through those end stages, and it really is about comfort care.
Well, and I can hear the emotion in your voice, too. I mean,
yes.
It's still an emotional thing for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. When I think back to that 3-month period that they were involved in our lives, I just get so emotional. Her nurse was such an incredible support to the entire family and so comforting, and she brought a peace into our home during the process that was unbelievable.
Wow.
I'm so glad.
Thank you very much for that call, Laura. And I'm sure other listeners will appreciate that, too. Yes, go ahead.
Anybody that has a question, please, please, please call Hospice Austin. They're phenomenal.
Okay. Thank you very much, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
You bet. All right. So on that note, then, Melinda, let's give that phone number again.
Okay. Our phone number is 342-4700. Our 1-800 number is 445-3261.
All right. What counties does Hospice Austin serve?
We serve 5 counties surrounding Austin: Travis, Williamson, Hayes, Caldwell, and Bastrop.
Okay. So.
And we also serve patients who, a lot of people think cancer is the main diagnosis of our patients, but we actually serve a lot of patients that have heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease, mm-hmm. Dementia, Alzheimer's.
No kidding.
Yeah, because that's a progressive fatal disease.
Isn't that I did not know that. Wow.
Right.
Wow. So, okay. So there's a lot of things out there now. One thing that you mentioned a number of times and Laura mentioned, and we're going to go to another break here in a few minutes, but was volunteers.
Yes.
Okay, and I've heard it, again, a number of times. So how does somebody volunteer for Hospice Austin, and what would they do? I mean, there may be somebody out there that would love to be the ministering angel to a family like Laura's, and there may be somebody out there that, I'd like to be involved, but I really don't want to be that close to the end process. So I'm sure you have different things that volunteers
do. We do. We have a variety of volunteer roles. We have over 400 volunteers. We have a huge volunteer program. And our volunteers, our patient volunteers, are directly part of the Hospice Austin interdisciplinary team. And those volunteers go see patients in their homes. They provide companionship. They provide respite care so the caregiver can get away for a couple of hours, go shopping or whatever they need to do, and run some light errands. And they provide so many services. We have one thing that we haven't talked about also is our inpatient unit, Hospice
okay.
Austin's Christopher House.
All right, yes.
And we have a lot of volunteers who serve weekly at Christopher House, and we'll go around to the patients' rooms and say, you know, can I get you some water? Do you need some ice? Or
well, let's just kind of, we do it on time. We got enough time before we go to the break. Let's drill down on, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's wrap up on volunteers. Because if we get distracted into Christopher House, we're not going to circle back to volunteers. We're also going to hit fundraising one more time before we're done this morning, too. But if somebody wanted to volunteer, they could. Again, they can go to call up and say, I'd like to be involved and help people directly with families that are at that point, and they can go out and be a little more hands-on.
Right. If you would like to volunteer with and working directly with patients and families, we do have a volunteer training coming up September 8th through the 19th.
Okay.
And please contact our office, and we will send you an application and get you started in that process. It's with the volunteer training, we really give you the whole ins and outs of Hospice Austin's care and what we do, and you can learn how to do it.
And that's coming up against September.
That's coming up September 8th through the 19th.
Now that's about 10 days. So how do we do
that? It's Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. Tuesdays
okay.
and Thursdays from, I think it's 6:30 to 9, and then Saturdays from, I believe, 9 to 3.
Okay. All right. Now, if somebody didn't want to be in the high-touch deal, I'm on your website right now, by the way, hospiceaustin.org, and it looks like you could use some help with office workers.
Right. Yes, we need
fundraisers.
Uh-huh, exactly. And all kinds of just professional services, too. Acupuncture, massage, hairstylists, carpentry work, wheelchair ramp building. I mean,
okay.
there's all kinds of ways to volunteer.
Pet therapy, what's that?
Pet therapy is our, we have some volunteers who, some have gone through an actual pet therapy program, but they have dogs that they bring to patients' homes or to Christopher House. And we work horses and hooves, I believe it's called. They come every Christmas and bring miniature horses.
No kidding.
Yeah, and the patients always like that.
I've got some clients who do that, in fact, and they have had a miniature horse operation for quite a while. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then I see Spanish-speaking volunteers.
Yes, we always need Spanish-speaking volunteers too, and we also have a support group called Les Amis de Hospice Austin, Friends of Hospice Austin, and this is a volunteer community, and we're doing a membership drive right now, and so if you'd like information about that, please visit our website.
Okay, which is hospice.org.
Austin.org.
HospiceAustin.org. And hospice is HOSPICE.
Yes.
So HospiceAustin.org if you want to volunteer. You can do everything from probably lick stamps and staple paper to go out and actually help minister to somebody who is in that situation. Be the volunteer. Hold their hand.
Yeah. And, wow. You know, the volunteers often do just become such trusted friends. And the volunteers are the person in that patient's life or that family's life that's not afraid to talk about death, that does understand what's coming for the patient. You know, the patient may have a lot of friends who either distance themselves or who just
can't
don't want to talk about it.
Can't deal with it, right. All right, we're going to take a break. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about when we get back. We're going to talk about Christopher House and the in-house facility run by Hospice Austin to help families. We're going to talk about bereavement services, which I want to make sure we at least touch on, and then we're going to talk about if you want to contribute money, we got some events coming up. I want to highlight that, and we're going to have about 10 minutes to do all that, so stand by, folks. Our call number again, 390-1370, 390-1370, and we'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad, and we are talking about hospice this morning, and we have a call on line one from Ida. Ida, Brad Wewell, thanks for calling.
Good morning.
Yeah, what can we help you with?
I wanted to ask a question. Does, when someone is on hospice, I mean, say on in a rest home, does Medicare with any of this?
Yes, Medicare also pays for...
I can't hear anybody.
Hang on 1 second. There you go.
Okay, Medicare.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me.
Now I can.
Okay, all right, because we can hear you pretty good.
Oh, good.
Is your radio down?
No, it's off.
Okay, good. All right, go ahead then.
Yes, hospice does pay. Medicare does pay for patients on hospice services while they're in a nursing home. They pay for both the nursing home and for hospice services.
So if you're on hospice, Medicare, not Medicaid.
Right.
But Medicare will cover you staying in a nursing home.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, my aunt in Oklahoma in a small town just a couple of months ago was in a nursing home, and suddenly she started to go downhill, and I was really trying to get hospice in for her. And my cousin didn't think it was necessary because she was already in a nursing home. And they ended up, her doctor, who was elderly, prescribed her Tylenol every 4 hours as needed. And that was the only medicine she had. And it was very frustrating to me because I knew how much more comfortable she could be, how much more comfortable they could have made her swallowing. And, you know, it just didn't happen, unfortunately.
Let me ask you something. The gentleman that I'm talking about has ALS, and he is home. And it's getting really bad now because he's coughing, he's not being able to go to the restroom, and his eating.
Yes.
And we can't get him in a nursing home because he has to go private pay.
Well, then he wants to be at home, too, my guess is, as well.
Do what?
He would probably prefer to be at home, too.
And the bad thing about it is he has Texas Community Care, and they put themselves above the care. So I've had to disenroll him out of that, and his Medicare doesn't go into effect until August the 1st.
Well, that's about 7 days from now, and
right.
Why don't you do this, Ida? The best thing to do would be to call Hospice Austin on Monday.
Okay.
And we're going to give you both those numbers. And go ahead, Melinda.
Actually, you can call them right now, and they'll get somebody out to talk to you all. And that's one thing that our social workers really do is, you know, if the patient needs acute care, then they can come to Hospice Austin's Christopher House. If they need longer-term residential care, then we can arrange that, too,
yeah,
in a different
nursing. I was up with him most of the night trying to get, and I had to have somebody put him on the potty.
Oh, yeah.
I know his muscles are just not working there.
Yes.
All right, so is there somebody at the office right now?
Yes. Just go ahead and give us a call, 342-4700. Or 1-800-445-3261, and we will get you help immediately.
Okay, let me tell you what. I'm going to hang up, and if y'all could say those numbers again because I'm driving.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Sure. All right. So,
so I'm going to turn the phone on, and I mean the radio on, and I'll listen, and I can get the numbers that way.
Don't kill yourself driving now.
All right.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. All right. So let's give the Hospice Austin numbers again, both the local Austin number and then, Melinda, the 800 number.
Okay, the local Austin number is 342-4700, and the 1-800 number is 445-3261. And you can also, when you get home, look on the website at www.hospiceaustin.org. We are open 24 hours, 7 days a week.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really nice. All right. And we're going to give those numbers one more time before the end of the show. So stand by. All right. We also had a question from somebody who called but didn't want to be on the air about the founding of hospice. What do we know about that?
Well, it was founded in London, England, by Dame Cicely Saunders. And I believe that she was a nun, and she just saw the way that people were dying, and it was becoming so institutionalized and so far removed from what patients or families wanted. And she thought there's so many aspects of dying, not just physical, but also emotional and spiritual.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got to go fast. Christopher House, what is that?
It is our inpatient unit. We have 15 beds. And
I've been there. It's not a hospital.
No, it's not a hospital.
It's a very nice, I mean, it's like a home. It's like you get your own room, and it's got nice furniture, and there are plants. And
patients and families are welcome to spend every minute there if they like. Patients' pets are welcome there. Every room has a separate exit and a door, you know, leading into the courtyard or
right, it's a very peaceful place.
It is a wonderful, peaceful place. And we have so many volunteers who make it special, who come and play music and just volunteer their love.
Oh, it's great. Bereavement services.
Well, we do. We have the largest bereavement program of any hospice in Central Texas, certainly. And we offer our services for 13 months or longer after a patient dies. We have free support groups that anyone, and our services are open to anyone in the community. So people who have died from a car accident, you know, their families are welcome to take advantage of this. We have support groups. We have individual counseling. And that is free to Hospice Austin families and on a sliding scale.
I noticed you have one
for
here.
People in the community.
Survivors of suicide.
Yes, that's an ongoing support group that we have. We have Families in Grief, which is a 7-week program for children and their caregivers.
Okay.
To kind of process the children's grief, how do parents or how do caregivers process their children's grief and deal with their own grief at the same time.
Right.
So we also have Camp Braveheart, which is coming up August 3rd through the 5th, and that's for children who have lost a loved one, typically a parent or a sibling.
Okay.
And that's a really great thing just for kids to know that they're not alone. It's out in Wimberley. And it's full, unfortunately. And
yeah.
Even the waiting list is full. But it's a great, wonderful thing.
Okay. Let's say we want to give money. And you, as you said, this is a nonprofit.
Yes.
There are sources of grants, and we get some reimbursements from health insurance and from Medicare, Medicaid, but bottom line is this is an expensive outfit. You gave away about $1.8 million in free services last year.
Right.
With the economy and the aging population, my guess is that number will be up this year.
Yes.
What kind of fundraising events do we have coming up?
Well, next week we have a fundraising event for young professionals, and our group is called Big Hearts for Brave Hearts, and that's what really, really helps fund Camp Braveheart. And we're doing a capital cruise on Lady Bird Lake on Thursday, July 30th at 7 p.m. And then we have a big fundraiser in September called Beauty of Life Fall Fashion Fundraiser at the Renaissance Austin Hotel from 9:30 to noon. And it's a sort of a fashion brunch. Yes,
yeah,
it's on a Tuesday.
For ladies.
And it should be a lot of fun. Our NBC Today Show style expert, Charla Krupp, is going to be on. And
wow.
She's going to be talking about her book, How Not to Look Old. And there's also going to be a silent auction.
Okay.
And a brunch.
And according to the website, this is the most glamorous fashion event ever.
That's according to the Austin Chronicle.
Well, let's bring it on.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I see. Now, the one thing you weren't going to mention. I don't want to mention that, Brad. Well, I'll mention it. The second annual Austin Crawl for Cancer.
Yes.
This is not directly benefiting Probie Hospice Austin. My guess is it's a cancer fundraiser.
But actually, it will be benefiting Hospice Austin.
Okay.
This year. So,
all right.
Yeah,
so this is where you.
It's a pub crawl.
Pub crawl. There you go. From 1 in the afternoon to 5 in the afternoon. I guess somebody's going to go to bed early that night. Teams of 10 to 12 people will travel to 5 participating bars, where as a team they'll receive 4 tickets valid for 4 pitchers of beer. Mama mia. I need to organize a team. That does look like fun.
And that's right. September 12th.
All right.
And then we are doing our membership drive for our friends of Hospice Austin, Les Amis de Hospice Austin. And everyone is welcome to join that. And that's a good source of funding for us.
And then we have a golf tournament, too.
On October 12th.
All right, great. Whew, a lot of stuff.
And we're also, our gala is in February, and we have a senior presentation. So if you have a high school senior who's going to be graduating this year, we're enrolling seniors right now, and I think the deadline for that is the middle of August.
Okay, great, so. Great. All right. Melinda, we appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
It's been great, and we've gotten some good calls, and appreciate all our listeners, of course. Hospice Austin, it's hospiceaustin.org. And let's give those phone numbers one more time.
The Austin phone number is 512-342-4700. And the 1-800 number is 445-3261.
Great. All right. Folks, next week we'll be back. We'll be taking kind of general estate planning questions on things. We got a lot more on Michael Jackson's estate to talk about. We're going to keep that going, too. Just to remind you that today is Saturday and tomorrow is Sunday, and we are talking about post-death issues here. We can help you on this side of life. We cannot help you on that side of life. You need to get your little bottom out of bed and go to church. You'll be better for it, and we'll all be better for it. This is Brad Wewell with Law Talk with Brad. I will see you next week, and thanks for listening.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.